Janet Hoff and the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. The AccuWeather forecast for tonight, cloudy with a chance of showers early and a low near 30. A 49-year-old Racine man appeared in court this afternoon to face charges stemming from a home invasion and rape that happened in December. Dexter Swanigan is accused of breaking into a home in the 1200 block of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Drive, sexually assaulting the 69-year-old resident twice and taking money from her purse. He's also accused of threatening to kill her if she called police or was tested for DNA. The victim waited a few minutes before calling police, and Swanigan was identified as a suspect as a result of a DNA test. Swanigan has been charged with two counts of second-degree sexual assault, aggravated battery, burglary, and intimidation of a victim. He has actually been in custody since a few days after the assault on unrelated drug charges. In Kenosha Circuit Court this morning, former West Dallas police officer Stephen Zelich, prior to his murder trial beginning, changed his plea to guilty for the August 2012 death of Jenny Gammez in a motel room. Zelich was accused of killing Gammez during rough sex, but claimed it was an accident. He's also facing charges for the murder of another young woman in Minnesota. He eventually left both their bodies in suitcases alongside a road near Lake Geneva. Zelich is scheduled for sentencing March 30th in the Kenosha case. A crowd of more than 50 stood in the street for a candlelight vigil in front of the Southwest Side Racine apartment complex, where 41-year-old Michael Hardy was found dead last week. Police calling it a homicide, but they have released little information. Reverend Tony Larson of Unitarian Universalist Church noted that whatever happened, it's another glaring reminder about the need for peaceful resolution to conflict.
It's okay for us to have anger, but we need to handle it well. And so maybe we need to, in our own lives, not just say, well, that was a bad person who did that. I would never do such a thing. Maybe you would never do such a thing, but we contribute sometimes to the climate of violence.
Hardy's adult son attended the gathering with his aunts and other relatives, but they stood silently in the back while others sang and prayed. Michael Hardy's funeral service is this Friday morning at Grace Church on Highway 31. Coming up tonight at 6 o'clock in the Huron Room of the Racine Building at Gateway Technical College, the public will have a chance to provide input to local officials on issues that could translate into federal funding under the Promise Zone initiative put forth by President Obama. Mayor John Dickert is scheduled to attend tonight's gathering, along with Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave, Gateway President Brian Albrecht, and State Representative Corey Mason.
We thought we would have an even stronger application this time around if we just rolled out what we were planning to apply for and actually asking the general public what they thought and what advice or suggestions they might have to make it the strongest possible application we could have.
The proposal from Racine will focus on much of the city as well as a section of Mount Pleasant immediately south of the border. Republican Wisconsin legislators are pushing a bill aimed at preventing drone operators from flying contraband into prisons as they have in other states. Under the bill, anyone who flies a drone over a state correctional institution could face a $5,000 fine. The bill would also let municipalities and counties establish areas where drones cannot be flown, with fines up to $2,500. The bill follows a series of cases across the country in which smugglers flew drugs, pornography, and other contraband over prison walls. In August, a drone dropped a package of marijuana, tobacco, and heroin into a prison yard in Ohio, sparking a fight among the inmates. There's been a big increase in the number of women calling the state hotline for compulsive gamblers. Wisconsin Council on Problem Gambling Executive Director Rose Gruber says those calls are up 90% over the past two decades.
I think that one definitely is accessibility. You know, as we, you know, changed different types of gambling over the years, as casinos and lotteries and different types of gambling became available, I think women started doing that, where before, you know, the sports betting, women don't do as much.
Overall, the state gambling helpline had a 6% increase in calls last year, with the majority from women. Janet Hoff, AM 1400, WRJN News. The AccuWeather forecast is coming up.